Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to the Walk.se, the ongoing story about becoming a minimalist vagabond while walking from Stockholm to Sydney. I'm in Austin. Last time I left you, I was in Bastorp. I had a one-day long walk, almost 50 kilometers from there in pretty hot weather. But I was lucky. I was actually headed into Austin, and I had a couch surfing host to stay with. And I arrived there just before 7 o'clock in the evening after a long, hot day, and had just enough time to have a shower and then scoot into town with my couch surfing host to spend some time walking around downtown while he went to a yoga class, an acrobatic yoga class. And I've actually got my couch surfing host here with me. And I'm going to let him introduce himself.
Well, my name is Palmer Stevens, and I've been doing couch surfing for about 6 years now, and I think I'm up to about 70 references. And I've been hosting a lot now that I moved to Austin about 2 years ago. And I live over down near next to the airport towards Bastrop. So.
Yeah, it was just on the right side of town for me to make it all in one day. It would have been really bad if you lived on the other side of town. It would have been a very long day.
Yes.
Yeah. I've been really well taken care of after I arrived here. As I said, I spent the first night walking around downtown having a look, and we rode around and went and had a pizza at
Home Slice,
because Torchy's was closed. We tried to go to Torchy's to have a taco first. Yeah, I have to say, Austin is really great. There is so many small independent businesses and restaurants and things happening, and I've been here since Tuesday evening, and it's now Sunday afternoon, and there is something happening all the time. There is always somewhere to go, something to do, people to meet, small music, and I don't know, there's stuff happening all the time. And what have we done in the last few days, Palmer? What have we done?
All right, well, we did social bike rides almost every night of the week, and we went on one of those, mm-hmm. and then we peeled off and...
And went to, we had a look at some dancing that we didn't really get into, but we had a look at it.
Oh, yes, contra dancing.
Contra dancing.
It's a type of folk dancing that's done in New England.
And then after that, what did we do? Did we do anything else that evening?
We peeled off. We just went biking. Yeah, we did. I'm trying to remember now.
So much has happened, it's almost impossible to remember everything we've done.
Yeah. I know we got home sliced pizza.
We got again. Yeah.
Again. Down in South Congress.
Yeah. And we met your friend Max, and he went for a ride, and you taught him how to fix a flat tire, and a lot of things have happened. Yeah, with Max, we went through the Capitol building, had a look around the Capitol building.
Yeah, we went down to that part in the back that's all underground.
Yeah.
It's quite a tunnel. They tunneled out the whole back side of the Capitol building.
Mm-hmm. So we spent a few days running around, and then Palmer had to do some work, and I spent some time trying to find where I could buy some good outdoor equipment in town. So I spent a lot of time walking around and sort of exploring Austin. And as I say, Austin's a great place. It's not at all what I was expecting here in Texas. And even though a lot of people have said that Austin is a great place, I think it's even better than what I was expecting. It's been really great. I think a lot of it has to do with the great help I've had here. Palmer's been a really great host, so taking a lot of time out to show me a lot of stuff, so it's been really, really good. And that helps a lot, so thanks for that.
You're welcome. Austin's a big bicycling city, and I've been corrupting my surfers here by giving them bicycles and letting them get around town.
Yeah.
They have a lot of bicycle lanes here. Austin's hoping to be like the Netherlands someday with great biking paths.
Yeah. It's got a ways to go, but it's so much better than any other American city I've been in. But it's got a ways to go before it reaches Amsterdam levels, that's for sure. Yeah. And then on Friday morning, I had got in contact with a photographer here from Austin, a guy called Kirk Tuck that I'd followed. I've been reading his blog and some of the books he's written for the last maybe 10 years or so. And when I knew I was going to Austin, I contacted him, and he actually met up and took me for a breakfast taco and coffee in the morning, and we sat around most of the morning talking about everything, basically. Had some really nice, interesting discussions about the future of photography and education and politics and, I don't know, just about everything in life and minimalism and writing. I'm reading his new novel. He's just released his first fiction novel that I'm reading at the moment, so that's really cool. And we talked about a lot of stuff, actually. So it was a really, really nice, interesting discussion. And it's always so nice to meet someone that you think you know because you've read so much that they have written for such a long time that you have a sort of a... I mean, I've seen pictures of Kirk before, so I knew what he looked like, but I always had an impression he was taller than he was, and also I always thought that his voice was going to be darker than it was. So it's really interesting to meet someone and sort of realize how they are in real life. And Kirk's a real nice guy, so that was really, really interesting. Did we do something? Yes, and then we went to a couchsurfing meetup that evening.
Yep, got to meet a lot of the local couchsurfers. Yeah,
the local couchsurfers. What was that place called?
Gourmands, and it's a little neighborhood bar, and they were playing board games like Scrabble and Cards Against Humanity and things like that.
Yeah.
And we had to leave a little bit early.
Yeah, we left because we had to go to the airport to pick up Charlie, who's finally arrived in Austin as well. And I've mentioned Charlie a few times on the podcast before. He's a Danish guy that I haven't met before, but that's contacted me through the website and has asked me a lot of questions about walking because he's got his own little walking project going. And anyway, we picked up Charlie, and Charlie's been here for the last couple of days, and we're preparing, and we're both going to walk tomorrow, and we're going to walk together for maybe up to 3 weeks. And Charlie, introduce yourself.
Thank you. My name is Charlie, as you heard, and I arrived here Friday, and since I've been bicycling around with my two hosts here, and had a great time in Austin. And the reason I'm here is to basically learn from Mats about life on the road, because I'm, as you said, planning a great walk myself for about 2.5 years, going down through Europe from Denmark and all the way around the western shore of Africa, through Congo, ending up in Tanzania. And I'm doing this as a part of my project that I call Walking for Water. I have a website called www.walkingforwater.dk, where you can check out some details about that project. Mm-hmm. But basically, I'm here to learn from Mats some routines
which would be stuff. Interesting, since I don't have any routines. I just let everything happen as it happens. But, so this will be interesting.
But you are an experienced man.
And I've been listening,
living on the streets.
I've been even listening to the conversations and learning a lot about what it's like to walk for days on end. How you pack food and what kind of shoes to have and how you charge your cell phone and all these things we take for granted when you live in a house.
Yeah. We've had some interesting days because Charlie had to buy some equipment, and we've been checking through that, and I've been updating some of my equipment, and we've been talking about what works and what doesn't. So we've had a few, not a hectic day, but a few days of organizing now. So we hope we are ready now tomorrow to lead. And we're carrying some food for the first time. I generally don't carry that much food with me, but I think we've got food for about 4 days with us now. So we've got heavy carts to start out with tomorrow.
Well, Saturday.
14 kg each, maybe, the carts?
Yeah, 40, That's, mine probably weighs more than that with the water. Mine probably weighs 50, yours probably weighs 40.
So, I remember you made your big shopping lists of all your equipment, which you had most of it when you came already, especially on the plane. Charlie did.
Yeah.
But I gave you all a nice American shopping experience. Yeah. I take him to a super Walmart. And
Everything is that big over here.
Yeah.
That's what really hits you when you arrive here. I've been in America before, but it's a shock every time that everything is that big. Mm. The trucks are very big. The humans are very big. And
This is Charlie saying this when he's been only been in Austin. Wait till he's been to some other parts of Texas.
Austin's more fit.
Yeah, humans here, I shouldn't say humans, but the people here in Austin are active and fit, and it's very much different from a large part that I've seen of America so far. This is very much more like Europe, actually, in that way. So they'll get worse. You wait, Charlie. We'll see next week. We'll see what it looks like then. It'll be very interesting.
Well, it's kind of odd because, you know, it's so hot in Texas, you'd think it would be very uncomfortable to be that
day. Yeah, exactly. It's strange, isn't it? Yeah.
The American diet's full of sugar and such, and it's hard not to gain weight here.
Yeah, and maybe it's because it's so hot that nobody wants to exercise as well. I mean, that could be a contributing factor. It's easier to sit in your car on air conditioning than it is to walk or run or, maybe. But it's mainly the diet, all the other sugar. It's sugar everywhere. There's sugar in everything you buy here. It's difficult to find anything else.
But there's a lot of good vegetarian restaurants in Austin, at least, sort of like an oasis.
Yeah, Austin has a lot of health conscious. How many times have you been to the juice place? What's it called?
Yeah. Juice Land is one of our daily rituals.
Yeah,
they have great smoothies there.
Yeah,
so I took you to Torchy's Tacos.
Yeah, and we went to Torchy's and tried out and probably had some of the best guacamole I've ever had there at Torchy's. They had nice tacos, but the guacamole was really good. So.
We've been to the Whole Foods headquarters for soups.
Which is, and Whole Foods, I actually, when I was in town wandering around, I spent half an hour, maybe an hour, wandering around in Whole Foods. And there's so much, it's so big, and there's such a big sort of range of stuff you could possibly buy that it becomes too much. You end up not buying anything because it's just, you can't choose. There's just so much stuff. It's just impossibly huge and large. And the choice of just different vitamin supplements is like, it's like an ordinary supermarket in Sweden, just with vitamin supplements. Yep. Yeah, it's huge.
We're getting back to our shopping. So one of our strategies, I guess, was to get you all the inexpensive stuff first. So we worked our way up the sort of
the
like
cost the chain.
The consumer food chain there. And I went to Walmart, and then we went to Target, and then the dollar store. And then we went to Costco, another huge store where everything's really expensive. Of course, the portions are really big. That's why their carts are so heavy now.
Yeah.
They got lots of good food. And then we finally went to REI to get the really nice stuff.
But yeah, the high-quality stuff.
Which is an outdoor shop.
Yeah, yeah.
With all those.
Yeah. And at REI, Charlie bought one of these new wood-burning stoves with a fan that actually charges.
Your light camp stove.
Yeah, it actually charges. Check it out on there. Generates electricity, and you can charge your phone with it by burning small twigs in it. And we played a little bit with it this afternoon, but it'd be very interesting to see how that works in the long run.
Yeah, it uses thermocouple technology. Yeah. What was the name of that stove again? Do you remember?
BioLite camp stove.
Yeah.
So you mean BioLite?
BioLite.
Yeah. Camp stove. If you want to look it up, it's really interesting.
We are actually planning to have a bit of an equipment update. I was planning to maybe make that with Charlie when we were here in Austin, but we've decided to do a bit later. We'll do sometime before Charlie leaves, we'll sit down and I'll go through all of my equipment, what I have and what I think about it and how I think it works. And Charlie will be there to be able to ask some questions, and it'll probably be a little bit more interesting with someone next to me rather than me just talking on about that stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll do that before we... And maybe Charlie was thinking maybe even doing a video. Or
I think I will do some video blogging as well. So if you are following Matt and you want to see how he acts on video instead of just listening to his voice all the time, I think there will be some videos on my website at least to find.
And we'll let you know. We'll put up links to everything when we have anything happening. Talk a little bit more about your project, Walking for Water. What is it you want to do? What's the sort of plan for the whole project?
Well, my own walk is about getting money for a water supply system for a specific village called Lengasti in Tanzania. I've been living in Lengasti for 6 months, returning to Denmark a year ago. And as I was leaving, I took with me the mission to find out how I could bring them water, because they don't have any water in this village. Their water system has been broken down for about a year now. Mm-hmm. So I came up with this idea that to make money for the water system, I would make an extreme event, and being adventurous and wanting to explore the world, the obvious thing to do was to walk down there.
Yeah.
So that's basically what I decided to do. I want to walk the way down there and sell the idea to a TV channel, then use the commercializing for getting a big firm to sponsor the water project. Mm. So
well, what is it you need to use? Is it generators they need? Or I think I remember read your, I can't remember, was pumps or generators? It was the electricity that they needed.
They have two pumps leading the water from a lake to the village. And both of the pumps are breaking down all the time. Okay. It's old, worn out system. And by the way, it's diesel driven pumps, so it's not very environmental good. So the idea is to change the whole system with green energy. My first idea was to make an electricity pump.
Electric pump.
So one pump would be enough to pump the water all the way to the village, but that would require to build some electricity poles all the way to where the pump is, and it would require to change all the pipes leading there, because the pressure would be too high, and it would be about 12.5 million Danish kroners, and that's too much. And the engineers we had looking at it also says that it wouldn't be the best solution, because the electricity system in Tanzania is not very stable. So the pump might break.
What about the Dutch? Aren't they into windmills? Everybody's into windmills now.
That could be a solution as well. But what we are looking into right now is to do it with some solar power. Mm-hmm. So I've been speaking with some solar experts in Denmark who are looking into right now if they can invent a solution that will make it possible to drive this water system with solar power. And if it turns out to be possible, it will be a pioneer project, and it will mean that it will be cheaper to make, it will be easier to maintain, and it will be pure green energy. So if it's possible, it can be used all over Africa, actually, and it would be a big step in changing the world for the better, both about bringing water to the ones in need and about bringing energy, green energy. So that's very interesting. But if it doesn't work out, the plan is just to replace the pumps that is already there with some new ones, so my village can get some water again.
Yeah. Oh, well, you'll keep us updated. You'll update your website. So we'll know what happens there as you go. And when are you planning to start walking? Do you have any start date?
The plan is to start walking from Denmark at springtime, mm-hmm. next spring. But it depends if I get sponsors at that time. If I do, I'm walking next spring, but if I don't, I might
have to wait a little bit.
But if you are listening now and you know some people who know some big companies who could be interested in sponsoring this,
get in touch with Charlie at his site, or send a message to me and I'll forward it to him, whatever. Just if you have anyone that can help in any way, just get in contact with one of us and we'll sort you out with the right contacts to.
And also, if you have questions for my project, write me an email and I will answer whatever you need information about.
Yeah. And last night we went out to 6th Street and cruised up and down the bars on 6th Street, didn't we?
Yep, 6th Street's the big tourist area here. Call it Dirty Six because it's sort of like Bourbon Street in New Orleans. Yeah. But it's a little more, I think, natural than New Orleans.
It was nice. There was a lot happening. There was a lot of bars, a lot of people, and a lot of action. I'm probably getting old saying this, but the music was too loud. There was nowhere you could sit and talk. There was loud music everywhere, wasn't there?
Yes.
Which could be cool, but it's you really need to have an ordinary pub where you can sit as well, don't you?
I did see you on the dance floor, though.
Yeah.
Shortly.
Yeah. I danced up on the dance floor to tell Charlie we were leaving. Yeah. It was good. I like to dance, so I wouldn't mind dancing. But I just wasn't in the mood yesterday. I'm saving my energy for walking tomorrow.
Yeah.
It was a little bit fun. I took them to a place called the Vulcan Gas Company, like as in Star Trek. Yeah. And they had a big techno
dance
being sponsored by one of the camps from Burning Man festival that was running the music and the DJ. And then after that, we walked down the street and went over to a place called Cheer Up Charlie's.
Yeah. And did you get cheered up there, Charlie?
Well, it was an interesting place. Palmer told us before we came there that he would normally bring people to guess what gender the other guests on the place were, because it's actually a transsexual bar, so you never know what you run into. Yeah. And
well, the way
Matt and I had the same response, that we didn't mind going, but we probably wouldn't pick up girls that night from that place.
But you actually did, didn't you? You got the phone number of a girl.
Oh, yeah.
She's coming through Denmark.
Might be.
Might be good luck.
I think it was a girl, at least.
We're not sure. She could be spatting for the other team, but that's
we'll find out.
We'll find out later. She was an engineer, remember, a civil engineer, so maybe she could help you with your project.
Yeah, you're going to help there.
But it was a different. It wasn't a gay bar. It was they don't really call them transgender bars. They're called gender queer bars.
Yeah.
And basically, if you don't fit in to your normal gender role, it's a good place to go and not have to worry about playing the usual women and men games, especially ones in Texas, which have a lot of machismo bravado involved.
Yeah, as you were saying, a lot of the gay and transgender and people that are a bit unsure about it, they tend to sort of gravitate towards Austin because that's where it's sort of more liberal here that way, isn't it?
Yeah, Austin's like an oasis from all the very conservative Texas lifestyle. And I've been told there's almost 10,000 transgenders live in Austin. Yeah. The only place that in the world that has more, I believe, is New York and Los Angeles. Yeah. There's a lot of artists in Austin. It's very art-driven, a lot of hippies, all that kind of thing. Liberal, all the stuff that goes along with non-conservative American society.
Well, tonight I'm going to try to edit this, get some photos done, and get it uploaded while I'm here at Palmer's place, because he's got a nice high-speed internet connection. So we don't really know when we'll have a nice high-speed internet connection next time, because we don't really know how far we'll be traveling, how far we'll be walking in the next few days. It'll soon be the 4th of July. What was that, on Friday or something? Which was the American Independence Day, which will be a big holiday. So hopefully we want to make it to a city by then, or a small town at least, where they celebrate it so we can be a part of it. It would feel a bit strange to be camping out in the middle of nowhere on 4th of July, I think. So we'll see what happens. I'm not sure how we're going to do that.
Well, hopefully there'll be some good fireworks for you in Texas. You may still have their burn ban.
Yeah,
they may not allow fireworks because they're a fire hazard. Yeah.
But at least we find some place that we can drink a few beers and celebrate Independence Day. It would be great. So we'll see what happens. We'll start walking. Tomorrow is the plan. It'll take us probably almost half a day just to reach Austin and then to the other side of Austin. We'll see how far we get. Walking's not quick. You don't go very far very quickly. But that's sort of the point.
It's really hot here.
It's hot,
completely different than walking in Denmark, as I'm used to at least.
Yeah.
But
I think
it's good that we had a couple of days here acclimating.
Yeah. We'll see. Charlie's a fit guy, so we'll see how he holds up to the heat. That's about the only thing that's going to be a problem. I know that the heat has knocked me about in the last week or two. I haven't sort of done the sort of miles I probably do other days, especially when the days when you spend in the tent, because it becomes if it's 30, 32 degrees and you crawl into the tent, it's like crawling into a sauna. So it's really, really hot. And it doesn't really cool down until after 12 o'clock at night. So it becomes hot and you'd need to drink a lot of water. That's going to be the only thing that might be a problem. But we've bought some electrolyte capsules, so we'll be all right, and we'll drink heaps of water and keep hydrated, and it shouldn't be a major problem. And we'll keep the distance down. That's the plan, anyway. If Charlie feels good, maybe we'll up the distance. But we'll see what happens. We're going to take it easy the first few days, anyway.
So what are you packing, like 4 to 6 liters per day to sweat out?
Yeah.
And water? Yeah.
We want at least 2 gallons per day per person when we're walking, which is 1 gallon is, it's 3.8 liters. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, so we're actually, yeah, we probably drink at least 2 gallons, and then you want the other 2 gallons as a sort of a, like a reserve. And we want to be able to cook and wash ourselves a little bit and that. So, you need at least 2 gallons a day. I think that's pretty conservative, actually. You probably need more, but we'll be in the next few days, we'll still be in pretty populated areas. It'll be after that, after we get to the other side of Fredericksburg, then it'll be more interesting. Then we'll be sort of out in the middle of nowhere in another way, I think.
You might have to carry water for 3 days. That could get pretty heavy.
It will get heavy. Yeah. But that's the plan, and that's what we're here to experiment with and see how it works, and that's why I have the mule that can carry a lot of water. So that's sort of, it was the plan all along, even though the plan wasn't to walk across Texas. The plan was to walk through Iran, and now I'm in Texas instead. It's a bit of a change, yeah, but it'll be the same idea. And it'll give me a very good idea of how much water I need and can carry on the mule when I cross the deserts, going from Darwin out to the east coast of Australia. So that'll be interesting.
I'm curious to see how Charlie's rig works. It looks like a big golf cart.
Yeah, it's actually a golf bag wagon that is built. Rebuilt a little bit. So
a bit custom modified to fit your backpack.
So the idea is that my backpack is on the golf bag wagon, and then I attach it to a smaller backpack which I'm wearing on my back, and I can drag the big backpack.
Yeah, yeah.
And the brilliant thing about this is that if I get places where it's not suited for wheels, I can pack it together and take my backpack on with the wagon on the back of the backpack. Mm. That's a lot of bags and packs.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the idea of the wagon. So I guess now I'm getting a chance to test it for some long time and see if it will work for weeks.
It'd be very interesting to see. I mean, I decided to go with a cart because I didn't want to carry everything. And I had a look at three-wheel car. I had a three-wheel cart on my test walk, and I've been thinking about two-wheel carts, especially when I get down to Asia. I've been thinking that I might send the mule straight to Darwin and have a smaller carrying system when I walk through Asia, because I won't need to carry as much water and stuff while I travel through there. So it'll be very interesting to see how Charlie's outfit works. It's always interesting to learn something from all these new ideas. So we'll all learn something somewhere, hopefully.
If you're doing that, and I decide that my wagon will not suit me, maybe I should just buy the mule at that time and use that instead on my own walk.
Yeah.
But the thing is that I think I will get places where
it'll be a problem. Charlie's walk is a bit more outdoorsy than mine. I mean, I've always said that mine is a bit more of a cultural walk. I intend to walk where there are roads and paths and people more as much as I can. Charlie will be a little bit more off-road, off-trail, in areas that aren't as well developed, let's say.
Mm. Mm.
So you probably need to be able to go off-road more than I do. Mm. It'll be interesting to see what happens. But remember, keep listening. For those of you that can, please listen to this through the Acast app, still probably only available in Sweden, but there are some things happening, and I believe Acast are developing their own podcast player that I'll be able to embed on the website, so you'll be able to see maybe a better way there. We'll see how that happens as it comes. If you listen to this through iTunes, or even if you don't, if you listen to this, why don't you go to iTunes, find the walk.se, and rate and write a review. I think that would really help me, because if you get some decent reviews and some decent ratings on iTunes, I think it'll actually help spread the walk to as many people as possible. Yeah, whatever you do, spread it to everybody if you can. I really need as many followers as possible. As always, whatever you do, just remember to keep walking.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.